did you lose a game? How do you guys build a brick wall? One brick at a time. When I was a kid practicing my violin, you know, my third grader, the window was open there in Memphis. We didn't have air conditioning there till I was studying Latin. I remember that because I was in the 10th grade. And I learned Latin things in the air conditioning. It was heaven. And you talk about humidity, it's real there in Memphis on the banks of the Mississippi. But here I am as a kid, 8 years old, sawing away on the fiddle, torturing the entire neighborhood. And I had one eye, you know, on the music, had another eye on the clock, had three eyes. Had the other eye on my friends outside playing baseball. I was ready to quit. My mother'd stick her head in the door. David, don't quit. Don't quit. 20 minutes. Finish the job. Small, achievable goals. I'll take one step at a time. How does God build local churches? I'll tell you how He does it, biblically. One soul getting saved at a time. One soul comes to Christ and you patiently disciple him. And certainly the Word of God tells us, since the way is narrow, there'll be people that'll make professions and not stick. That's why you have to constantly work at outreach. As we come in to help a church, even like this one, our heart's prayer and desire is that maybe nothing else will happen, but I hope some folks will realize that the way you build a church is you tell people about Jesus. And if you keep telling enough people about Jesus, God will win them unto Himself, and you'll have a great problem. Where are we going to put these new believers? Where are we going to put folks in this room? We need to go on and grow. God builds one step at a time. Now, it's true, and I speak from experience, sometimes God looks down and He sees a church and they're faithful telling people about Christ. So He says, I'm going to give them icing on the cake. What is that? He sends a family in. They move in from out of state, you know, and they're already saved, biblically baptized. They know how to tithe and they want to get to work, you know. That's icing on the cake. But God's primary method of building the church and building me and building you, one step at a time. My trials will help me. I'll take one step at a time. You know, in a sense, maybe not totally, but in a sense, this is how Jesus died on the cross. We've talked about this in Sunday school. It's called the hypostatic union of Christ. It's the big deep word. It simply means Christ was not only God, He was also man. That's incarnation. He had to become a man to have blood flowing through His veins and shed blood in accordance with God's requirement. As a man, don't you think Jesus did all these things we're talking about this morning? In His humanity, we know He got tired. Just think He was tempted to quit. We know He got hungry. We know He needed to come apart and rest a while. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, He was actually, and I don't totally understand this one, but He was actually tempted in all points like as we are. He was tempted in every way we were tempted, yet without sin. He was our perfect high priest. And by the way, in that context, it's in that context we find the verse that says, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I love it in that context, because that encourages me if I'm facing temptation and by the grace of God I flee from it, I can go to God's help and say, Lord, I need your help now as I come into your presence. Here's Jesus when He's arrested in the garden. Don't you think that when they arrested Him, He probably thought, I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. I'm God. I could just in a moment call 10,000 angels. But He didn't do it. Don't you think He said to Himself, my trials will help me and you. I'll take one step at a time. Don't you think as they bent His body over the low post and tied up His hands and took the cat o' nine tails filled with broken bits of glass and bone and wrapped it around His body, it said that sometimes that flogging would cause somebody to die, wouldn't even make it. Don't you think as they brought it down again and again and again, Jesus said, one step at a time. One trial at a time. Don't you think in His humanity that went through His head as He walked the road to Golgotha? They put the nails in His hands and His feet. They took that cross, dropped it into a hole with a thud, and His body was jerked. And He felt the excruciating pain that we can't even understand. probably. Don't you think he said, one step at a time, one step at a time. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. One step at a time. I thirst. One step at a time. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? One step at a time. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. If Jesus did it, I bet I can too. I think you can too. I think I can live the Christian life one step at a time because the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for me, Romans chapter 6, lives within me. And in a sense, I was on the cross with him. I didn't have to pay the penalty. But in a wonderful sense, I have that same power because it's through Jesus. The key theological phrase in the Apostle Paul's letters is what? Two words. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And since I am in Christ, I too can have the victory that he had. Final phrase that I think we'll say often is this. And this is the shortest one. I want to just encourage you. Let's look at the first two. Let's review. If you're a determined Christian, you will say, number one, my trials will help me. Number two, I'll take one step at a time. Say that again. I'll take one step at a time. One day, sometimes 1 hour. Men, you know what we are up against as men and how the devil wants to take us out. The flesh does not get better with age. And by the way, your secret weapon on earth will be your wife. Your wife has the right and biblical right to know more about you than anybody on the face of the earth. That's a blessing. The parallels were the Lord, were spouse with the Lord. So she's your secret weapon. But oh, there are times, men, and I speak from experience, when I've got to say, I want to conquer this temptation right now. It's right here. This hour. By the grace of God, I'll take one step at a time. Jesus did that. He had total victory, and so can I. Of course, the great blessing is, when Stephen was martyred, he entered heaven as a hero. That means the great blessing for us, as we take one step at a time, we'll get God's blessing on our life. We will say, even like Moses instructed the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy when he was about to tell them, you better obey God. He said, you know what? The time will come when you'll say, God, you're overtaking me. You're bowling me over with your blessings. And then Moses said, here's how you do it, children of Israel. Obey God. Find out what he says and then do it. I'll take one step at a time. And last of all, I'll do my best for God. I'll do my best for God. That's easy to see in this text. Because what did Stephen give? Gave his blood. He gave his king. Top that. He said, I'm going to die for you, Lord Jesus, right now. Let him martyr me. That's a determined Christian. I'll do my best. I won't do my best when I think it's kind of time to relax. You know, I spent my time working in the nursery when I was, you know, had kids, so I'm going to quit doing it. Listen, ladies, you get a little bit older, and you need to work in the nursery so the younger ladies can have their kids in the service and they can be with them. Oh, I spent my time, put my time in serving God. God tells us that until our last breath, we have the privilege of investing for eternity. Colossians. Whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do it heartily. The word heartily there literally is the word energetically. And it's in the tense which indicates whatever you do, keep on doing it. Determined Christians do their best. Hey, let me ask you a question. What in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? What are we supposed to pray every morning? Well, just think about it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. There's a lot in that verse. Thy will be done. We've heard about that. On earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done where? As it is done where? Ooh. So that means every day I say, Lord, help me to do your will today, just like it's done in heaven. Who does the will of God in heaven? Right. Jesus does it. We know that. Who else? The angels. Hebrews says they're ministering spirits. I bank on that. I'm sure I've had guardian angels as we dragged that fifth wheel across country so many times. I have stories where they just say, whoo, how'd you make it? One day at a time. One trial at a time. God providing for the glory of God. And that guardian angel, who probably in heaven, is going to come up to me with a broken arm and hobbling. I'm glad you finally made it. Let's think about God going to an angel right now, this afternoon, and he says, Brother Angel, there's a church member, Continental Baptist Church, and they're going to be on the freeway tomorrow, headed downtown to work. And there's going to be somebody who's out all weekend drinking, and he's going to go the wrong lane and have a head-on collision. But I'm not ready for that brother to die. So, Brother Angel, what I want you to do, I want you to go down there and sit next to him, grab the wheel, make sure he doesn't kill himself, because I'm not ready for him to come. That's your assignment as an angel. What do you think that angel would say? Oh, Lord, you know, tomorrow's a busy day. Whoo! You know, let me check my schedule here. It's right here and whatever. He's not going to do that. That angel is going to say, yes, sir. That angel's going to serve God out of respect for the authority. But not only that, he'll serve God because he's honored that the king would give him an assignment. And that angel will do the best he absolutely can to fulfill the will of the Father. So I'm supposed to pray, Lord, help me to do your will, just like those angels do it in heaven. And they're doing it today. God will give us grace to do that, one step at a time. Abraham Lincoln was riding along years ago in a carriage with an army officer. And that army officer offered Abraham Lincoln whiskey. Abraham Lincoln turned it down. Went a little bit further. That army officer offered Abraham Lincoln some tobacco. And Abe turned it down. No. Then Abe turned to that man and said, sir, let me tell you why I said no to those things. When I was 9 years old, my mother was dying. She called me to her bedside and she said, Abe, I want you to promise me one thing. I want you to promise me that all of your life you'll never use alcohol or tobacco. Of course, we know what she meant. Abe said to that army officer, sir, I promised that to my mother. Do you want me to break that promise now? And that officer said, no, I don't want you to break it. I wish I'd made the same promise to my mother. You see, Abe Lincoln only wanted the best. And it was Abe Lincoln who said this. I want to get it right if I'm going to quote him. He said, I do the best I can, the very best I know how, and I mean to keep doing it. Only the best. That's what determined Christians will do. We'll say, Lord, I'm going to give you my best. My best, whether it be reading my Bible in the morning, whether it be making a nice meal for my family, I'm going to do my best. Whether it be studying the Word of God, whether it be helping out in the local church, whether it be at work, the secular job you've given me to shine as a light in this darkened world. Maybe it'll be to practice my instrument, torture the whole neighborhood. Maybe someday I'll get to use that for the glory of God. That's determination. Determined Christians will say often, let's repeat them together as we close, see if you remember them. Number one, a determined Christian will say, my trials will help me. Number two, I'll take one step at a time. And number three, I'll do my best for God. That's how you can be as determined as Deacon Stephen. One day stand before the Lord and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We were preaching for a week in a church in San Pablo, California. I won't forget it because I remember that night somebody across the street took a gun and killed somebody in their house. It was murder. We woke up that morning, looked outside in the trailer, saw that yellow tape across the line. Part of the excitement of RV life, that's happened at least twice in our RV life where somebody's gotten killed across the street. But I won't forget it because Larry Ball was the pastor of that church in Pablo, California. Sunday morning, it wasn't Jewish synagogue, so it was Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I stood up and I preached a message on how to be sure you're really a Christian. Assurance of salvation. Invitation was given, and I noticed that one man came down the aisle, was taken personally by the pastor. He took that man, they went into the inquiry room. We finished the service, amen, it's all over. But while we were standing around, people were leaving, the pastor came out with that man, and he came to me, the man, and he said, Brother Barba, I got saved today. I said, wonderful, tell me about it. He said, 5 years ago, I was a leader in this church. I was a deacon. I know a lot about the Bible. People used to come to me and ask questions about the Bible. But this morning, as I looked into my own heart, and I haven't been in church in a long time, as I heard the word, I realized that I knew all about God. I knew all about Jesus, but I never personally, one-on-one, turned from sin and trusted Christ. God worked in his heart, removed the blindness from his eyes. Then you know what he said to me? I'll never forget this. Because this is really what happens many times in local churches when you close the service, you know. He said, as you invited folks to come and be sure they're saved, and you were singing that song, I heard two voices. One voice said, what will people think? You were a leader in this church. You've been here so much. Oh, what will they think? The other voice said, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And then he said, Brother Barba, as I heard those voices, I just decided it's not worth it to stand here and care about what anybody else in the room thinks and die and go to hell. And that's when I stepped out and came down to Christ. You know why that guy got saved that morning? A lot of reasons, but one reason is, he was determined to do it. He was kind of saying, boy, that opposition, that trial, that satanic voice, that's going to help me. I'm just going to take one step at a time and come down this aisle. I'm going to give all to Christ because he's given all for me. Determination. Deacon Stephen, he's a hero. My trials will help me. I'll take one step at a time. I'll do my best for God. And I don't know about you, but I am honored that God will let me do that until the day I see his face. I'm not saying I'll be successful. I could stumble and fall any time. Any of us could. Let him that thinks he stand, thinks thereof, be careful lest he falls. That's 1 Corinthians 10:12, right before verse 13, which says God will give you victory over temptation. But I'm thankful that as I stand here this morning, I can say, Lord, you've given me the privilege to spend the rest of my life. I know more trials are coming. They'll help me. I think I'll just take one trial at a time, one step at a time. And by the grace of God, I want to do my best for him. Let's bow our heads together. Our heads bowed.